I'm your host, Matt McBrayer. Thank you for joining us. This is Geek Speak. As always, my co-host, Louis Gerardo of Louis the Computer Guy.
In the house. Thank you, Matt.
All right. This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for Geek Speak comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy. Excuse me. Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. As always, call in with your questions. If you have a printer that's malfunctioning or a computer on the fritz or a backup question or whatever you want to have us talk about.
Even if you want to like set up software to like spy on somebody else that lives in your house.
Yeah.
We can help you do that too.
Yeah, fluffy bunnies with cameras in them.
Yes.
963-2976.
The nanny cam.
Yes.
There's actually a lot of, I guess I'll just go with that thread. There's actually a lot of really easy to use new camera technologies. I've been playing around with some of those.
Yeah, it seems like there's everyone and their dog is doing a wireless camera these days.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like somebody may be calling in. Maybe they have a wireless camera.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, I was wondering. So I'm a first-time computer builder, and I just bought a bunch of parts off of Newegg.com.
Oh, this is going to be awesome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, of course. Hey, of course.
All right.
So hopefully you guys can help me out with a little bit of a problem that I've been having.
All right.
Now, I installed the new motherboard. I put on the new graphics card and the new processing unit. I believe it's an i5 Intel processing unit.
Okay.
And a 1060 GeForce graphics card.
All right.
On an MSI motherboard. Now, as far as I know, everything's plugged in properly to the motherboard, but I wasn't getting any power into the system at all when trying to turn it on.
Okay.
Now, I unplugged the 4 plug from the 8 plug slot on the motherboard because they didn't match.
Uh-huh.
And then I was actually getting it to actually boot then. However, the graphics card, the fan on it is only spinning for like a second and then it stops. So I don't think there's power going to the graphics card. And when I tried to boot it up through VGA on the motherboard, I wasn't able to see anything on the display.
Did you try, let's see, because if a graphics card is present on the system, an additional graphics card, then the VGA on board, if there's an onboard on the MSI a motherboard, that'll be disabled automatically. Just so you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll have to remove the add-on card,
Yeah, that'll probably fire up the onboard card right away.
Then you can do some testing. Now, a lot of the higher-end graphics cards like that require a 3 or 8-pin connector of their own because you can't power them through the bus.
Correct. So there was a 6-pin into the graphics card unit.
Okay.
However, I don't know if I've come to the diagnosis that it might be a power supply issue. That being said, the power supply I have is only 400 watt.
Okay.
So I don't know if that average is good enough to power the entire board, an external fan, an additional cooling fan onto the processor, the graphics card, and then also a disk drive.
Yeah. You know, my gut instinct would be that you should be able to at least, usually an underpowered power supply doesn't really rear its head until you get into, you know, like trying to, you know, watch some, you know, 4K video or you know, something like that. It you know, that boot up is a relatively low wattage event. It doesn't usually require as much wattage as when you actually get into processing jobs. That's when you really start pulling power.
Okay.
At least that's just my opinion about it, you know. But I think Matt was on the right track. So you're saying that is there a six pin cable that jumpers from the new graphics card to the motherboard?
Well, usually it goes straight to the power supply in newer cases.
Okay. And the newer the power supply has a 6-pin that'll fit that, right? It's a little
Yeah, so the power supply has a 6-pin that goes into the GPU. However, the CPU power on the motherboard has an 8-pin plug, and my power supply only has a 4-pin. So I'm putting the 4-pin into the 8. And as far as what I've read on existing forums, that shouldn't be an issue. But it was preventing it from initially booting or powering at all. So then I just unplugged the CPU power, and I was able to get the motherboard actually light.
Oh, dear.
Card unit is actually
working. Okay.
So as far as I know, I've installed it correctly, but it sounds like it shouldn't be a power supply issue.
Well, there, it depends on how the power supply is cut up. There's what they call multi-rail power supplies. So there's a 3.3-volt rail. There's a 5.0-volt rail. And then there's a 12-point rail. And then there's usually a negative 12-volt rail and some other ancillary stuff that you usually don't run into. But, we'll continue. So, basically what happens is if you look on the side of your power supply, it'll say that the power supply can make, when I have a 400-watt one, I convert it into a bench power supply. So, the one I've used is a low power 400-watt Antec. It'll do 20 amps of 5-volt and 3-volt combined, which is about 150 watts. You just multiply them together. And then it'll do 120 watts. Wait, is that right? No, it'll do 240 watts of 12-volt, so that'll be 30 amps.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to, if it's broken up, it may be where one 12-volt rail runs the board and one 12-volt rail runs the, goes off to the 6-pin for your video card.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a lower-end one, it may be combined where all of the 12-volt output is coming from one rail, and then you need to make sure that between your video card, which probably, if it's a high-end one, is going to be between 120 and 180 watts.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you have enough to run your video card and the board. And the fans are probably under 10 watts each. A 10-watt fan is a very powerful fan.
Sure. Yeah. I'm actually kind of thinking in retrospect after talking to him, because the combination of him not having the right plug-in for the motherboard, he's basically running a motherboard with an 8-pin plug, power plug,
mm-hmm.
or auxiliary power plug, and he's running it off of a 4-pin connector, is kind of leading me to think that maybe he is up there on the right avenue as far as thinking that the power supply, that might be a good place to start. As far as swapping things out.
Well, a lot of those 8-pin connectors on the power supply side have a little clip.
Mm-hmm. It'll disconnect.
And you can make it a 4 or an 8.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the way they are keyed. If you look in the pins,
yep.
And then you look in the connector on the motherboard, you'll be able to see that, some of them are kind of diamond shaped and some of them have a square with one corner cut out.
I've been there.
It's made so that it's made in a way where you can't put it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
It'll key itself out.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the fact that he was able to get that plug in means that, he got at least that 4-pin right. But, the fact that he doesn't have the other 4 pins there, I don't know. Power supplies are cheap. I would say, spend the $59
or find an appropriate adapter.
Yeah.
Exactly. For a couple of bucks, find a.
But if you're concerned that, it sounds like he's kind of building kind of a pretty powerful machine. And, you don't want to, you're not going to go the long haul on a 400 watt power supply on a pretty powerful machine.
Yeah.
It's going to wear it out eventually, So
I'd probably run the numbers and kind of see, look up that i5 that he got, figure out what the total heat dissipation on it is. It'll probably be like 65 or between 65 and 85 watts, depending on which one it is. So based on that wattage, you need to make sure that you have enough watts available for that.
Mm-hmm.
The motherboard's going to draw a relatively small number of watts on its own. Same with all the other stuff. And just see how close you are to the amp rating between between all the devices in the computer and your power supply.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm going to jump in right now and say they don't call it Geek Speak for nothing.
Yeah.
So that was a really good 10-minute session of really geeky speaking right there. That was pretty epic.
So The formula is VA equals W.
Okay.
So you take the volts into the device times the amps, and that's the number of watts.
Got it. Okay. All right. For those of you who didn't know that, not that you can't look it up.
But
so.
it's handy.
Yeah. Definitely.
You can kind of figure out, you know, if you go look at a fan or something, mm-hmm. you can go, oh, that draws, you know, 6.8 watts
yeah.
or something.
Kind of took me back to the days of, you know, being a system builder myself, you know. It's, oh, looks like we get another call. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, we do have another call. Look at that. Yeah.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing, Donna?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I missed the beginning of your show. Were you talking about anything?
It was pretty excessively geeky. We had a guy who's was building a system, and he was having some problems getting getting the fan on his GPU card to spin. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So we got into, you know, Matt even invoked the formula for calculating watts,
okay.
you know, from
wow.
number of volts times amps. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. But you're an engineer. You understand all that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was in college.
You guys, you probably sit and talk about that at the cafeteria table during lunch
at
the place where you work, right?
I do remember Sokotoa for, you know, for triangles and stuff.
Okay.
Cosine and sine and tangent.
Nice.
Hey, I thought I would, have you guys talked about this whole Amazon Key thing? Have you heard
no,
about
we
that?
Actually, we talked about it in show prep, so we're semi-prepared to talk about it.
Oh, good. Well, I was hoping you would because, you know, it's definitely a problem when you live in a condo like where we live. We had to stop having packages delivered to home because we would come home and our box would be opened.
Uh-huh.
Somebody would, you know, have looked just to see what was in it.
And wow.
Yeah, so I only get things delivered either to work or to my mom's because it's a gated community. So
sure.
I'm interested about this Amazon key service. So
how would it work? How would it work for somebody in a condo? Would you have one of these Amazon key devices put on the door of your condo?
I don't know. I haven't read the article. That's
yeah.
why I was hoping you'd talk about it.
Well, because, I mean, if it's, I guess the thing that complicates it even more, though, is if you're in a complex where you have to get through an initial security to actually get into the building, to actually get to the point where you're to the door, you know, then,
oh, right.
I mean, that kind of complicates everything right there even more. So, you know, I can't say that I've read up enough on it to know what their answer for that is. Do you have anything
right.
on that?
Well,
Matt?
I was just, I Googled Amazon Key. It was the first thing that came up. So Amazon authorizes the delivery, turns on Cloud Cam and unlocks your door. You'll get a confirmation that the package was safely delivered, and you can watch the delivery live mm-hmm. or view a video clip of it afterwards.
Okay.
And
cool.
So it looks like you replace your deadbolt on your mm-hmm. front door, and
yep.
away you go.
Yep.
Whatever happened to the lockers? Remember how Amazon had, like, you could go to the local store and there was those Amazon lockers?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I even saw those, like, at a McDonald's one time. Have you seen those? It was like a little.
I think I saw them somewhere.
Yeah, it was like a multi-locker box at a McDonald's. They had some sort of a deal.
I saw the.
You know?
I was at a McDonald's in California a few weeks ago, and they had kiosks for ordering.
Okay.
Yeah, I have seen that. That
was for ordering Amazon.
I don't know about ordering Amazon.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
Just the kiosks.
Food.
Yeah, okay. For ordering your food. Very
got
interesting.
It. Okay.
They're
but,
just really trying to get rid of. You know, they're just trying to automate everything, so put people out of work.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I mean, if the robots in your home need stuff from Amazon and they need it now, what better way than to have an Amazon robot deliver it by
that's right.
by drone
automatically opening your door. So
the other thing I wanted to mention, by the way, is the whole story about, you know, Amazon is looking at different cities. Have you guys talked about that yet?
We have not
where
talked about it.
I saw an article
following that saga. I was reading a story about how Toronto was like one of the ones kind of in the running at this moment. So
right.
Yeah.
So I think I heard that they were planning to hire like 50,000 people.
Wow.
That can't be.
Hmm.
I mean, everything's going to be automated. What
did you hear that they just crossed the 500,000 mark? You know, with the Whole Foods merger. So they've got a ton of employees as it is. So, but 50,000 people. It's doesn't surprise me. It's you know, it's really taken the place of you know, so many things in our society.
Well,
you know,
hopefully they have better city planners than they have in the town of Basalt. Just a little joke there.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well taken. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. Well, if you talk about either of those two things, that would be good. If not, I'll go ahead and listen to the rest of the show. The only other thing I was going to mention, by the way, I went on to Chase Bank the other day, and they have a new service instead of like Venmo, where mm-hmm. you can send money to people. Have you tried that through Chase? I forget the name of the service.
I have not. Uh-uh. You know, okay. I mean, do you have to be a Chase Bank account holder? Because it seems like that's going to narrow things down a lot.
I think only to send.
Okay.
So, like, I could send money to somebody. I just need their email address, and they need to sign up with their own bank. So I'm just going to look into that, and I'll let you know next
week. Got it. Is that, like, part of the ClearPay network or something like that?
I don't remember. I'll have to log back onto Chase and find out.
But, yeah, because there's these, like, middle ground vendors or, you know, they're part of the banking system that are set up to do some of that. I think it's called ClearPay, and it does all that.
All I have to say is that one of the problems one of the reasons I never liked bill pay is that they would take the money out of my account, hold it for a week, and then, you know what I mean? And then then the other people would get paid in a week. So they're holding my money all that time.
Yeah.
So I never really liked to use bill pay. So I'm curious how this is going to be. I'll let you guys know. Yeah. But
all right. Definitely.
Okay. Well, I'll listen to the rest
of
the show.
Yeah, do listen, because I've got a really juicy little tidbit coming up after here in just a second. So.
Okay, great. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you
Take
so
care.
Much. Bye. Bye.
All right.
That was Donna Dalton from California.
Our foreign correspondent.
You're listening to GeekSpeak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Call with all of your geeky tech questions.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, more power supply problems. I've had to replace a redundant one this morning.
Did you?
Yep. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
well, after all the power, you know, it's been a really rough couple of months for electricity around here.
Yeah, certainly has. Yeah,
I don't know if I can quite honestly remember a period of time when it was quite so bad. So, we got another caller there. Look at that. So,
you're on with the geeks.
Yeah, hi there. I'm having some network problems with my network attached storage unit and basically a music player that I want to use.
Okay.
They don't talk to each other.
All right.
Basically, I got Windows 7. I'm running that, and it's a Western Digital MyCloud dual drive storage unit.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get FUBAR 2000 to recognize the NAS.
Okay.
The problem is that FUBAR wants to work with the home group setup of Windows 7, and the MyCloud seems to be stuck in a workspace mode. So I'm not getting a work group and a home group to jive with each other.
Got it.
Yeah.
Do you have do you have the home group password?
Yes, I do have the home group password.
Okay. Does the Western Digital device support home group, or does it only support like the
work group?
Yeah, it seems to only support the work group. I haven't been able to find home group setting anywhere in the GUIs or online or any of that stuff. So I'm just wondering if there's
is it an older Western Digital device? Because I mean the whole home group thing has been. It's been a thing for a while, you know.
But it's probably using Samba, which doesn't necessarily support that directly.
Okay, got it.
Right.
Not that I'm an advocate for the home group concept.
No, work group usually works fine.
It's just, you know, one more way that Microsoft has, you know, thrown an extra term in there to keep you from getting to where you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, boy, you know, Matt, I'm going to defer to you on that one.
I'm loading FUBAR 2000 right now.
Okay.
So, because I use VLC as my primary media player.
Okay. I hope your computer's okay after that, after it gets FUBAR'd.
No, a lot of people this is a media player that's been around since for quite a long time. I'm not sure, cause I'm guessing in the year 2000, but give or take a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess one of the essential questions is, what is FUBAR's stand on all this as far as their support for, you know, an NAS like that that does not have the home group?
I went to a forum and I couldn't quite, nobody there was able to really kind of put that together for me because they really didn't understand the NAS I was using.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the whole problem right there.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to, are you trying to like add a library to FUBAR 2000 or?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the NAS is my music server. I've been loading up, you know, everything on it. And, and that way I can feed it out now out in the living room. I've got a Pioneer N50 out there, a network player, and it has no problem seeing the Western Digital. And
does your computer have any problems seeing the Western Digital, or is it just the application?
It's just the application, and when you go to network settings, you know, and I go to network, and all of a sudden I can see all my printers, everything is there for about 1.5 seconds, and then flash, it just shows office computer number 2 and goes to user and, you know, won't take me outside of my computer box at that point.
Have you tried adding the share on the network attached storage device as a mapped network drive, so like the Z drive or maybe the M drive since it's music? Have you tried mapping that and then telling FUBAR 2000 that you know, your M drive or your Z drive is a music folder and having it index it that way?
No, I haven't.
I think that's a really good suggestion, because as soon as you start getting into mapping drives to letters, a lot of applications treat them completely different. They treat them in a very generic Windows. They approach them in a very generic Windows kind of way.
Okay.
So that may be a really good way to start. So
there you go. Now, would that be a problem as far as security over the network or whatnot if I have it mapped that way?
No.
It's the same amount of security as the connection between your Pioneer and the NAS already.
Yep. I gotcha.
Yep.
Well, now that's something I've never tried to do, is map a drive. Is there a simple way to get in there and do that? I mean, through the control panel, I take it?
Well, no, you just go to your computer.
To Windows Explorer, mm-hmm. like the standard file system Windows.
Yeah. Go to this PC where you have like your C drive and your D drive and...
Yep.
Those kinds
actually
of things.
Go to the network area where you can get your NAS to show up there.
Yeah, right. There's a bunch of different ways to do it.
Yep. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. So then in the drop at the top or under, is it view or edit?
I usually go right to the drive, like right to the network share, and then right click on it.
And say map.
And there will be an item on the right click menu that says map network drive. And then it will pop up. And the only thing that you may have to, if you have like fairly tight credentials set on the NAS, you may have to, there's a checkbox that says log in using different credentials. And in the different credentials window, you just make sure that you have the correct username and password
and
the little checkbox to remember the password checked.
Okay.
You should be good.
Don't see anything about mapping it. It just shows me mount public share, create shortcuts.
But you're going to want to click on the actual folder that has your music in it.
It's got to be the actual share. If you have any shares already created on the NAS.
I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds already created.
But we're talking about a share would be like one level up the ladder from an album, for instance.
Right. Like the public, it's my public music folders.
Exactly.
Like
I've
got A to D and E to F and so on. And it keeps breaking down from there.
Yeah.
So in the actual share,
if you right click on the actual share itself, then the item for map network drive should be there.
I got you. Okay. I've got to go in it a different way, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll give that a try.
Okay.
See if that works.
Good luck with that. That was a great call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Have a few more minutes if you want to have a quick question. 963-2976.
We've got enough time to walk somebody through a cable jiggling. It's about how much time we got.
Yep.
So make sure you've jiggled both ends of the cable.
Yep.
So yeah. But
and then the lights come on.
Yeah. That was a good question. That's cool stuff. You know, it's a brave new world we live in as far as media goes. You know, being able to have those kinds of media systems. Have you ever dealt with Sonos at all?
Very little.
Yeah. I'm pretty, that seems to be just the slickest. Yeah. You know, yeah. Most trouble-free, most child-proof system. But I'm looking forward to
it. Unless you make a network loop with it. Hopefully they've gotten that straightened out.
Oh, okay.
I had a person make a network loop with their Sonos system.
I could see that.
A problem.
Yeah. And then the songs just keep playing over and over and over again?
No, their network just started being like a slug.
Glitching.
Being slow.
Got it. All right. Okay, well, take us out there, Matt.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in the studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thank you, Matt.
All right. Have a great week, everyone. We'll be back next week.